like to be following Job chapter 16. Please, in your Bibles, Job chapter 16. Let's ask for the Lord's help, shall we? Dear Lord, now, as you said to the disciples, come aside a while. You've now been asked to come aside for a while and to leave, as far as possible, all the distractions and the burdens of our hearts and minds and lives as we focus on you. None of these other affairs are going to make any sense until we hear from you and your Holy Spirit convicts, converts, and convinces and impresses. So we ask for your help now. We ask for your blessing. We are needy people. You know that and we know that. And as you've dealt with us with such loving, tender kindness in the past, we ask for more grace just now, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at this mini-series. As we turn to Job again, we're looking at this mini-series of desperate questions which Job, in his great trials and difficulties, has uttered during the course of this great situation. Tragic, in many senses, it seems, on the face of it. And the other question we're going to look at today, in the third part of our series, is Job's heart cry for a heavenly friend. We can't minimise Job's anguish and suffering. He was groping for some kind of explanation. How often do you and I do that when the winds and the waves of life batter us and hit us, and we can't understand where this has all come from sometimes? They're all about good questions, aren't they? Why is this happening? What's going on? Why? Why me? From the disasters of chapters 1 and 2 of Job, where everything is a disaster as far as Job can see, in earthly terms anyway, and those around him can see, his family is wiped out, all his possessions are wiped out, all his standing in the community is being reduced to nothing. He's reduced to ashes, boils, misery. Why is all this happening? Now, we know the outcome, of course. You can read the story on the historical accounts, and you can see at the end. But of course Job didn't know all this. He's not in a privileged position you and I are. There was no Bible as such in those days, in the early days of Earth's history. But he realises something very much strongly comes upon him, this emotion. I need an advocate. I need a mediator, a go-between. As far as he can tell, God is allowing, and in some things he seems to think that God has sent it, to buffet him and knock him around. And he feels like, well, he must feel like a mouse does when a cat's got hold of it and he's tossing it around and hitting it about, you know? This is it, I'm done for, you know, and I'm being tossed around like a rag doll. And so he realises, he's able to think through this much, if this is the case, it's wrong thinking of course, but he gets some clarity later on. If this is the case, and he's wrong thinking, then I need someone from the same place, heaven, who's going to intervene for me, and be an advocate, a go-between, who's going to help me in my circumstances. But where can I find one? Where can I find one? If you go back to chapter 9, this was his cry, verses 33 to 35. If only there was a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. The mediator could make God stop beating me, and I would no longer live in terror of his punishment. Then I could speak to him without fear, but I cannot do that in my own strength. That's the heart-wrenching, perplexed anguish of Job, who has, and I can hardly criticise him because I don't know how I'd respond. I've had times when I've literally shaken my fist at God. I dread to think now, good job I'm living in the day of grace. But Job says, why is he knocking me about like this? I need a mediator. I need help. Where can I find one? Well, of course, you and I are in a very privileged position this morning. You and me, we know the answer from Scripture. It is Jesus, the mediator, between God and you, between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. There is one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. The only one. The only one, the Bible says. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. So the Bible's quite clear on this. You're going to find no other solutions, no other answers to having peace with God, to having any kind of relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ. And it is futile and pointless, ultimately, to have all the religion and all the claptrap, all the paraphernalia, even in a, quote, Christian, unquote, context, if Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news, the saving power of Jesus Christ is absent from it all. It is, quite frankly, pointless. It is as good as useless. Now, of course, these things are mostly hidden from Job. In all our trials and circumstances and experiences of this passing life, we need God to help us and guide us, because he's the creator. He created the environment you and I live in, although he is not responsible for the disease of sin that plagues us and society. We've managed to do that for ourselves back in Genesis. But none of this is going to make any sense. All the hate, all the lust, all the misunderstanding, all the greed, all the indifference, all the self-indulgence, all the crazy mayhem, none of it makes any sense. Socialism, communism, Buddhism, Islam, anything you like, philosophy, Richard Dawkins, evolution, none of them have got any answers. None of them can make any sense of this mayhem. John Lennon seemed to think he had the answer. All you need is love. It's easy if you try. If it's so darn easy, John, why isn't everybody doing it? They can't. They won't. Only the man, Jesus Christ, has got the answers to all this mayhem, Job. There is a mediator. There is an advocate. There is a go-between to bring you to God. Has he brought you to God? Have you been brought to God? have you had dealings with Jesus? You've got to have dealings with Jesus if you're going to be brought to God and be brought to heaven. Until God reveals himself to us through his Bible, through his gospel, through his appointed means, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, until this happens in our deepest being, your very soul, then if you're just going to take on board everything else that's going on around you, all the other philosophies and religions, life ultimately has no real purpose or meaning. You're just getting by. You're just getting through. As comfortably as you can, with as big a bank account as you can, as easily as you can, but you're just getting through. And in spite of it all, I don't care if you're a multi-millionaire, and you can be as philosophical as you like, you have no answer to what lies behind that door at the end of life's corridor. And people will shy away from it. And for most people, that's life. That's life. It's pitiful. I don't wish to sound patronising, but it's pitiful to watch them queuing up for their scratch cards and everything else at the newsagents, feverishly scratching them outside the colour or wherever it is you shop. I suppose if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't in my heart and life, I might be doing the same. I certainly wouldn't be here this morning. I've got better things to do than listen to a frumpy old man droning away from a dusty old book. Oh, that's old school. Yeah. Give us another coffee, love. There's no meaning. Don't you get it? There is no point. Vanity, vanity, the writer says in Ecclesiastes, is meaningless, says Solomon. What difference is there between me and the man lying in the gutter? I have riches, I live a comfortable life, he has a tough life, but we're both going to die. What's at the end of the day different? All my money, riches and comforts are meaningless. What's the point? Are you just a gene machine? As Richard Dawkins would have you believe, that's a real morale booster, isn't it? That makes you really feel wanted. You're just a gene machine. Pass on your genes, and that's it. Off you go. Ta-da. Until God opens our eyes, and you know, the amazing thing is, because we've messed this all up, we've messed up the garden, we've messed up hearts and lives, we've disobeyed his word, we've rebelled against the Creator, we've gone our own way, we think we can do it ourselves, and we're still convinced we can do it ourselves. About 10,000 years after it all started, idiots, we still don't get it. But the amazing thing is that in spite of all this stupidity and sin, to prove what a loving, gracious, wise God he is, he takes the initiative. He steps in. He makes the arrangements. And him and his son discuss this, and they agree that the sin of these rebellious creatures is so obnoxious and awful to me, I demand blood to pay the price of this rebellion, this sin, which is an offence against a benevolent Creator. And so Jesus agrees to come and be that sacrifice. What more could he do? And yet people will still carry on the way they are. If you want any evidence or proof of the power, the darkening power of sin, just look around you. There's a book, God's book, with God's answer, but you still choose to look away. You still choose to doubt. You still choose anything else than humbly, like a child, to bend the knee and accept from your Creator the loving providence and kindness that He is extending to you. Come to my Son. There is a friend. There is a way. There is an advocate. There is a go-between who can bring you to God. You've got to come to Jesus and bend the knee. It's about surrender. Surrender. Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop trying to tick boxes. Stop trying to impress God and me and everybody else. Stop trying to impress yourself. The heart cry for a heavenly friend is what Job wants. One of the burdens that Job carried, and it weighed him down heavily in his heart, was that his friends had failed him. His friends had failed him when he needed them most. Can there be anything more painful and disappointing? We value those who care for us and love us, certainly in good times, but what about the bad times? Yep, even if we make a mess of the things, where are our friends? How do they stand with us? Mock, ridicule, sarcasm, like Job's so-called friends? They were just supercilious knockers, holier than thou, you know, who you've obviously seen. His friends were faultless and heartless. And so he cries out, I need a mediator from heaven. I need someone, you know, at HQ who can sort this out for me. But amazingly, Job has a surprising insight. His emotional life is red raw. I mean, it couldn't be any worse. You think you've been in some bad places? I mean, don't talk to Job about depression. He's been round there 10 times already. Don't talk to Job about family distress. He's been around there 10 times already. Don't talk to Job about redundancy and loss of income. He's been around there 10 times already. He is emotionally drained. He is at the end of his rope. He is red raw. Look at verses 16 in chapter 16. My eyes are red with weeping, dark shadows circle my eyes. Grief, distress, distraction does this, and it tosses the emotional life this way, that way. He's lost his children suddenly and tragically. That was overwhelming. His health is ruined. His family and possessions are decimated. And he's stuck with a wife whose only concern is to collect the life insurance. And now, on top of everything else, he feels another overwhelming emotion tearing at his heart and spirit. A profound sense of the absence of any comfort, companionship, friendship, somebody he could turn to. I mean, there are times, aren't there? All you want to do, I know I get this, or maybe I'm odd, I don't know, but all I want to do sometimes, I mean, you just want to lean on somebody's shoulder. I just want to cuddle sometimes. That's all. Don't say anything. Just give me a cuddle. No human contact. No human compassion, even his friends. All I can do is pick holes. And it's easy to pick holes, isn't it? It's so easy. to pick holes from where you and I stand. And I said this a dozen times before, but the old Apaches had it good. You know, they sort of don't criticise a man until you've worn his moccasins for a week. Very often, you cannot enter into what somebody's going into. You may think that you can, but you can't enter it into the way that they, in their personality and emotions and psyche, enters into it. You will enter it in a different way. They are having to deal with it in their way, and it's not going to be the same way as you. We must learn to understand this. And some people don't cope with things, certain things, as well as you and I do. And I don't cope with some things as well as other people do. We're all different. But a loving Heavenly Father and Creator knows us. He knows us. It tells us in the Psalms that He formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were even there and conceived, He knew you. He put you together. You are who you are because God made you who you are in many respects. This is true of you. And I know sometimes I scratch myself and say, really, Lord? Really? But He is ultimately responsible for putting you together. Do you think He doesn't know you inside out? He knew you when you were a tiny little embryo. He was forming you. What a loving, wise Creator. In spite of the fact that He knows you inside out, He knows all that's good, what little good there is about you and me, but He knows all the dirty washing. And yet He still would take the time and the trouble to have you know that He is involved with you and He is concerned about you, because until you bend the knee and submit to His benevolence and forgiveness, you're going to carry on the way you are. Meaningless. Meaningless. It's all vain. It's all vanity. You're going to have a ton of this, but you've had a ton of it already, haven't you? Because it's Christmas, in case you didn't take your notice. It's been Christmas since about August, apparently. I actually saw the Kevin McCarra ad the other day. My hero. Said very grimly. But all this palaver that's going on, I mean, it's nice to have family and friends and to get together. But I mean, if Jesus isn't at the root of it all, then what is the point, frankly? Well, there's a brief lapse afterwards where everybody draws breath, and then we have a second attack on the 1st of January, and then we've got over that hangover, we then got to face the reality of going back to normal. Happy New Year! Could somebody tell me what's happier about January the 1st than December the 24th or December the 25th? Can somebody explain to me what's happier about it? It's another day, another year, another step closer to God and eternity. And if you haven't got Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you're going to have to face God alone. Can you tell me what's happy about January the 1st? Please, explain it to me. I'd love to hear the philosophy behind it. Well, it's a new year, it's a chance for a fresh start. We've had 2018 of these fresh starts. When is one of them going to work? They won't, John, because love isn't easy and can't be done apart from Jesus Christ. Life can't be done apart from Jesus Christ. Life and life's corridor has no meaning apart from Jesus Christ. But then suddenly Job talks to himself, the Holy Spirit gives him a nudge and brings a thought to his mind, and he has an amazing and surprising insight. Verses 19 to 21. It just suddenly comes to him. Verse 19. Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me. But I pour out my tears to God. I need someone to mediate between God and me, as a person mediates between friends. Look at that astounding statement in verse 19. Where on earth did he get that from? I have a witness in heaven, my advocate, my mediator, my go-between is there in heaven. Where did that insight come from? He hasn't got the New Testament. He hasn't learned about Jesus yet. The Holy Spirit gives him this nudge. So he's talking to himself now. He's counselling himself. Christians, don't be quick to make fun of anybody that talks to themselves. They may be having a serious spiritual conversation. And that's what I tell Susan. Talking to yourself again, dear? No. I'm under counsel. Seriously. Could be. I do this when I'm walking the dog. You want real spiritual experience? Get a dog. You have to walk with a dog. Right. The dog looks at me blank and thinks, what is he going on about? This is a staggering statement from Job. And he gets, as you read through Job, and I recommend you read this book, he gets these, occasionally he gets these bouts of insight, clarity, comes in. And it's all the chaos and the emotional turmoil. He gets these amazing bouts of clear and holy thinking amongst all the chaos. And right now he suddenly realises he's been prompted by the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is a friend in heaven. And to me, these flashes of insight indicate to me what kind of man Job is. Deep down, deep at heart, he is God's friend. He is right with God. And you need to know and understand, believer, that even someone who is close to God, as Job obviously was, can slip and slide all over the place in circumstances and get a lot of things wrong. But God in his love and grace and mercy does not mark you down for it. Yes, God has to put Job right at the end, but look at the blessing and the reward for his child at the end of the day. So he gets this prompt from God the Holy Spirit. When we're doubting, when we're at the bottom, when we're in the darkest and the deepest, God the Holy Spirit, who loves you and is concerned about you, he's been attached to you by Jesus to be your friend, your counsellor, your comforter. He will prompt you and say, hey, yes, listen, look. Praise God for the Holy Spirit and his surprising insights and prompts to those that seek him. Praise for a wise and loving Heavenly Father in giving us the Holy Spirit and his word. So he's had this insight and the heart-rending cry of verses 20 to 21. My friends scorn me, but I pour out my tears to God. I need someone to mediate. You need someone to go between you and God. You need an advocate who is acceptable to God. Is there anyone good enough? Who can possibly be an advocate before you and God? A priest? A cardinal? A pope? An imam? Who? No one. No one is good enough to go between. Don't be fooled by this. All the religiosity and all the uniforms and paraphernalia of religion is pointless and foolish. We go direct to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one mediator. There is only one mediator. But he has this amazing insight. It just comes to him. There is someone outside of my situation and yet still who is involved with me and knows me, who can sort this out. Such big issues. People today, I hope you're not vulnerable, we shy away from the big issues. Why am I here? How did we get here? Where am I going? Where are we going? What's it all about? What's the purpose and point? The big issues. Why is Job moved and agitated about his need for a sympathetic friend and advocate? Well, he wasn't certainly getting any comfort from his so-called friends, was he, who failed him so miserably. Supercilious knockers, superior critics, fault pickers. The way they saw into poor old Job broke his heart. They are the original Job's comforters. I hope you and I are not one of these. Where can you find a friend who is faithful enough not to desert you when you're confused? Perhaps even you've made mistakes or made a fool of yourself, but you're certainly going through it. Where can you find a faithful friend who will not desert you or betray you, who won't put you down? An absence of friends intensifies, doesn't it, the sense of loneliness. When I was ministering to Bruce last night, all he could do, he was obviously conscious of my presence, but his hand went up. He was semi-comatose, but he was searching to be able to express himself and make physical contacts, which we did. An absence of a human touch and a friend intensifies, isn't it, a sense of loneliness. There are many lonely people today, but they do not understand that the solution to their loneliness is only found in Jesus. Social services can't help. Volunteers can bring some relief, I suppose, but they're not going to be the ultimate solution. You can be in a crowded room and still be lonely. Have you had that experience? Yeah, I can see the heads nodding. Jesus knows all about loneliness. He walked this earth, and if anybody was misunderstood, ridiculed, scoffed at, and abused, it was him. Even his closest 12 disciples whom he chose just didn't get him most of the time. He knew what loneliness was. And he has so much love and wisdom. He wants to be your mediator, your comforter. He wants to bring you to God. And he was prepared to put up with all the loneliness. He was prepared for this because of the great love with which he loved you. Can you believe such love and friendship? There we are, we've messed everything up. We don't want to know it. But God takes the initiative, he sends Jesus. God taps you on the shoulder and he brings you under his grace and his mercy. You're here this morning, tens of thousands aren't. You are very privileged. God is expressing his love to you. There is a mediator. And Jesus walked the lonely road for you. He hung on a lonely cross for you. He was buried in a lonely tomb for you. That's how much he loves you. This is the wisdom and the love of a benevolent creator whom we have rebelled against. Foolish, silly sheep. Such anguish and loneliness can only be satisfied and dealt with once and for all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John 3, verse 16, Jesus himself said that God loved the world in such a way, like this, not the world's silly idea of love, you know, lust, or I'll love you if you love me, you know, you do to me and I'll do to you. Like the young man who wrote to his girlfriend, I love you till the moon fades. I'll climb any mountain to get to you, I'll cross any desert to get to you, and if it's not raining, I'll be around Tuesday. He walks this lonely road for you. God loves you so much. Your benevolent creator, can you believe it? He's gone through all this trouble. How can you sit there so indifferent? Don't be lonely. Run to the Saviour. His arms are outstretched for you this morning. Come to me, says Jesus. God loved the world so much that he gave you his one and only Son. He left the glory, he left the holiness, he left the love, he left all the worship, myriads of angels, he left that, and he came down to all the dirt and the sawdust and the scoffing, and he put up with it all for you. That's love, John Lennon. That's love. So that, now here's your bit, so that everyone who believes in him, who comes to him like a little child and surrenders to him and believes he's who he is and he can do what he says he can do and finds forgiveness and mercy with him, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. You got that? Perish. That's what's at the other side of the door at the end of life's corridor. The perishing. You're going to live forever. Do you know that? Where are you going to live forever? There will be a separation on the judgment day. Goats and sheep. And God will say to the sheep, come for the place reserved for you. To the goats, he's going to say, away from me, I never knew. Do you know God? You will only know God by coming to Jesus and sorting it out with him. Do the transaction. Hand over your sin, submit to his grace, and receive his mercy and forgiveness. Do the transaction. And the blessed reality that Job discovered was that there is a heavenly advocate who is for me. He got it just for a moment. Just at the moment when he needed it, when he's at the end of his rope. And he will get two or three or more of his insights that will keep him going. God is teaching him a lesson. I'm in control, I am sovereign, I am the creator God. This vast universe you see at night, I hold it all together. It came into being because I spoke a word and it happened. That's how powerful I am and how loving I am. I sent my son for the lonely, for lost, hopeless sinners like you and me. And Jesus is so, oh, I can't begin to explain it. He left all the glory and he comes down to where you are. Where are you? How low are you? Jesus can come down there. Jesus will come down there to you and he will lift you up. No one so gentle and understanding as the all-powerful, all-holy Lord Jesus Christ. Gentle, loving, gracious. Only Jesus has got all the answers. You won't find it in evolution. You won't find it in PC claptrap. You won't find it in LGBT, XYZ, ABC theories. Only Jesus can bring any sense to your loneliness and emptiness. Only Jesus can bring meaning and purpose to life and what's at the other side of the door. you needn't be afraid of anymore. Bruce isn't afraid of it. Bruce isn't afraid of it. Like Moses, he was led up to the top of Mount Nebo by God to look onto the promised land. Just now at this moment, Jesus is taking Bruce up to the mountain and he's getting him ready. This is what you're coming to, Bruce. This is it. I've got you. We're going. This is what Bruce has got at the moment in his hospice bed. Jesus is getting him ready. Have you got a view of the promised land? Have you got a view of your home in heaven? Have you got Jesus? He will take you up to the mountain. He will give you a view of the promised land. I've seen the promised land. I'm there in heart and soul and mind. Are you? Would you be ready to be transferred, anointed, dressed and adorned like Bruce is just at this moment by Jesus personally? That's what's happening. Are you ready to surrender everything, soul, sin, life, to him? Jesus says, you come to me. You come, never mind all the claptrap. Never mind all the claptrap. And Satan's like a parrot on your shoulder, isn't he? Come this way, come that way, do this, do that. You know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. 18 million people will be watching Love Island. I didn't know there were so many sad songs in Britain. Pathetic. Jesus gives you everything and more from a benevolent, loving Creator. You come to me. All of you who are weary, carry heavy burdens. And I will give you rest. The only rest and peace and satisfaction and contentment and the only place you're going to find any answers is in Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy One, the only one acceptable to God, your advocate, your mediator. You take my yoke upon you. I won't crush you like Satan and the world does in the rat race. You take my yoke upon you. You harness yourself up to me. You'll find me easy, loving, kind. I'm humble and gentle at heart. I know all about your dirty washing. I know all about it. But I won't hang it out for everybody to see. We'll deal with it together. We'll sort it out between you and me. What a gracious, gentle Savior. Rest for your souls, and no matter what waves and winds hit you in this life, if you have a Bible based faith in Jesus, you will find rest for your soul, and it's the only place you will find that. Let's pray. Jesus, friend of sinners, we bless your holy name. Come and be my friend now. I give you my sin, my heart, my soul, everything. Grant me your peace. Grant me your joy. Grant me your forgiveness and mercy. Be my mediator and friend for all eternity. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.